In my experience, the fields of secular psychology or mental health rarely crosses paths with Scripture. But recently, I have noticed a point of agreement between the two, and that is the positive effects of gratitude on mental health. A recent article from Harvard University Health entitled, "Giving Thanks Can Make You Happier," observes, "Each holiday season comes with high expectations for a cozy and festive time of year. However, for many, this time of year is tinged with sadness, anxiety, or depression. Certainly, major depression or severe anxiety disorder benefits most from professional help. But what about those who just feel lost, or overwhelmed, or down this time of year? Research, as well as common sense, suggests that one aspect of the Thanksgiving season can actually lift the spirits, and it's built right into the holiday. It's being thankful." The article went on to say, "Gratitude is a way for people to appreciate what they have instead of always reaching for something new in the hopes that it will make them happier or thinking they can't be satisfied until every physical and material need is met. Gratitude helps people refocus on what they have instead of what they lack. And although it may feel contrived at first, this mental state grows stronger with use in practice." That could have come out of a Christian book by Max Lucado or Chuck Swindoll. I mean, that is truth. Wouldn't often think you'd see that in a place like Harvard Medical Journal. Another psychotherapist writes in Psychology Today, again, another source I don't often quote in my sermons, 7 scientifically proven benefits of gratitude. So whenever you choose to write a few sentences in a gratitude journal, or simply take a moment to silently acknowledge all that you have, giving thanks can transform your life. I think they're exactly right. She goes on to list the benefits as opening the door to more relationships, improving physical and psychological health, enhancing empathy and reducing aggression, improving sleep. How about that? Having trouble sleep, maybe be more thankful. I'm reminded of a song that was recorded a long time ago that kind of goes off of the hymn we often sing, "Count Your Blessings." It says, "Count your blessings instead of sheep." You know, some people would count sheep if they can't sleep, and they say, "Count your blessings." And it can improve your whole mental health, improving self-esteem, increasing mental strength. Research has shown that gratitude not only can reduce stress in our lives, it can also play a major role in overcoming trauma. A 2006 study found that Vietnam War veterans with higher levels of gratitude experienced lower rates of PTSD. It can be a powerful force in our lives. This psychotherapist concludes, "We all have the ability and opportunity to cultivate gratitude. Rather than complain about the things you think you deserve, take a few moments to focus on all that you have. Developing an attitude of gratitude is one of the simplest ways to improve your satisfaction with life." I remember the first time I heard that phrase, attitude of gratitude. It was right over there when we were having church in the fellowship hall, and it was Brother Joe Bradshaw from Kentucky that was preaching that day. And he talked about having an attitude of gratitude. I remember one line out of that message. He says, "I'm too blessed to be depressed." Stuck with me all these years. So I have to admit, there's a point of agreement between the Scriptures and psychology. But there's something missing. There's one thing notably missing when the secular mental health field deals with the area of gratitude. In essence, the world tells us to give thanks. But to whom? Think about it. The most natural way of expressing gratitude is by saying thank you. Who's the you? If we're to give thanks, to whom do we express our gratitude? Now, you might think I'm grasping at straws here, but I really believe this is important. If we are merely thankful without thought to whom we give thanks, we may end up like Bart Simpson, who notoriously prayed over one Thanksgiving meal, "Dear God, we paid for all this stuff ourselves, so thanks for nothing." Now, everybody at the table gasped, as probably a lot of people did watching on television. But as Lee Strobel points out, because Bart is so uninhibited, he says things that most people only think. When he prays, "Why should we thank you, God? We bought this ourselves," people recoil in horror. Yet isn't he expressing a sentiment that a lot of people secretly harbor? Well, they never say it. But don't many people live their lives with the attitude that they've earned what they've received and God really had nothing to do with it? So in many ways, Bart's just more honest than most. See, if we don't have an object for our giving thanks, we've lost the point. And I believe we've lost the benefit because it's just out there. And this is where the Bible comes in. Thanksgiving is very much a biblical concept. The word thanksgiving appears 25 times throughout Scripture. The phrase "give thanks" is found 34 times, and the longer phrase "give thanks to the Lord" is found 19 times, 13 of those in the Psalms alone. Now, nutritionists will remind us that we must have the minimum daily requirements of certain vitamins and minerals if we're going to be physically healthy. I believe the Bible gives us some minimum daily requirements we need if we're going to be spiritually healthy. And I think gratitude is at the top of that list. Giving thanks. It's good for your health. Not just your mental health, your spiritual health as well. Now, Psalm 105 is one of many psalms of thanksgiving. It's a psalm that actually appears in part in another portion of Scripture. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, we see the first 15 verses appear. And the occasion for that event was the return of the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. You may remember that at the end of the period of the Judges, the high priest at that time was named Eli. He was a mentor to Samuel, who was the last of the judges. And Eli had two sons that were wicked. And there was a battle with the Philistines. And so these sons thought, well, if we take the Ark of the Covenant, it'll be like a good luck charm and we'll win the battle. But what happened was the Philistines defeated the Israelites, killed those two sons of Eli, and captured the Ark of the Covenant, took it back with them to Philistia. Without going into a lot of details, some really bad stuff happened when the Ark was there, and so they shipped it back to Israel, and it sat in somebody's warehouse for years. In fact, probably about 50 years, it sat in someone's barn. And finally, when David was established as king and his capital was Jerusalem, he said, it's time to bring the ark home. And this psalm was one of the ones sung in celebration of bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. But I believe that it's a psalm that is fitting at any time, on any occasion, for giving thanks. So I want to begin with an area, again, I think secular psychology doesn't provide, and that is the whom of gratitude. Psalm 105, verses 1 through 7 is very clear. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name. Make known among the nations what He has done. Sing to Him. Sing praise to Him. Tell of all His wonderful acts. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and His strength. Seek His face always. Remember the wonders He has done, His miracles, and the judgments He pronounced. O descendants of Abraham, His servant, O sons of Jacob, His chosen ones, He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. The whom of gratitude is very clear here. It is the Lord. The Hebrew term Yahweh, which is translated Lord, appears 5 times in these verses. It's very clear who the object of our gratitude is. And really, this captures the essence of worship. John Stott observes, this is worship. It is to seek to give to God the glory due His name. Indeed, the best biblical definition of worship I know is glory in His holy name. That is to revel in the unique wonder of who He is and who He revealed Himself to be. You see, worship is not a feeling. Let me repeat that. Worship is not how we feel. Worship is not a style of music. There came a whole genre of music some years ago that was called praise and worship music, as if that's the only music you can use to praise and worship. Worship is not the style of music. It's not the kind of song. Worship is something we do. Worship is a verb. Let me add to that. Worship is not something we watch. And I'm afraid that in too many churches in our land and maybe throughout our world today, worship has become a spectator sport. People come in, they sit in their seats, and they watch people perform. And if they like it, they might clap, if that church allows such a thing. Or they might put money in the offering. They might even come back. If they're not impressed with the performance, they might go somewhere else. But to them, worship is just something they observe. It's something they watch. That's not worship. Worship is a verb. Worship is something we do. We are giving thanks. We are giving praise. We are telling God what He is worth. And we do that with our actions. It's not only the songs we sing. We worship God in everything we do. As we read the Scriptures, as we pray, as we sing, even as we participate at the Lord's table. Even as we give in the offering, that is an act of worship because we're telling God what He is worth to us. But there is an object for our worship, the whom of gratitude, and it is the Lord. Just underscoring the fact that worship is a verb, this passage in Psalm 105, contains no less than 10 commands, things we are to do in worshiping the Lord. Let's look at those verses again. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name. Make known among the nations what He has done. Sing to Him. Sing praise to Him. Tell of all His wonderful acts. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and His strength. Seek His face always. Remember the wonders He has done. These are things we do. These are actions. And we should be involved in worship. That is why in this particular church, we encourage participation. People that can read the Scripture, give a communion meditation, lead singing, join in the singing. That's why we sing as a congregation, so that everybody can participate. And you know, our favorite verse in that regard is Psalm 100 out of the King James Version. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, right? Doesn't have to be pretty. It just has to come from the heart. But it's something we do. Some have asked, why do you end every service reciting the Lord's Prayer? Because it includes everybody. We all pray. I think that's the essence of worship, is something we do together. That's why we come together on Sundays. I hope this isn't the only worship opportunity you have all week, but I do hope it's the time we do it together. And it is something that we participate in. Now, you'll notice twice in this passage is the phrase, seek the Lord, seek His face. What does that mean? Well, it actually involves several steps. One is voluntarily and wholeheartedly turning to God. Not something casual, with our whole heart. It's an inner attitude of devotion to serve Him. Worship is not just, well, if there's nothing better to do, I guess I'll go to church. Or, you know, if I wake up in time, It's a devotion. It's a commitment. It's a decision to turn away from evil, a decision to fulfill His will, a commitment to go to Him in fervent prayer. This is what it means to seek the Lord. Seek His face. Take God seriously. But if your Christianity only exists in 1 hour on Sunday morning, I'm not sure you're seeking His face. This is something that we are told to do on an ongoing basis. And throughout this passage, we are reminded the whom of gratitude is the Lord. He is the one to whom we give thanks. Now, this passage also gives us the why of gratitude. Why should we give thanks to the Lord? Well, let's go back to those same verses. Give thanks to the Lord, call on His name, make known among the nations what He has done. Sing to Him, sing praise to Him, tell of all His wonderful acts. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord in His strength. Seek His face always. Remember the wonders He has done, His miracles, and the judgments He pronounced. O descendants of Abraham, His servant, O sons of Jacob, His chosen ones, He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Notice the first reasons why we give thanks to the Lord. It's for what He has done. In fact, four of the five statements in these verses deal with the actions of God, His wonderful acts, the wonders He has done, His miracles. And I would suggest this is the most natural reason why we give thanks. It's a response for what He does. God acts in our lives, we give thanks. It's a very natural response, or at least it should be. Every day, God gives us multiple motives for giving Him thanks. You know, following in the words of the song, Count Your Blessings, we focus on what the Lord does for us, big and small, every day. But that's not the only why of gratitude. In fact, it's not even the highest reason for giving thanks. C.H. Spurgeon notes in his Treasury of David, this is reason enough for giving Him thanks. Goodness is His essence and nature. And therefore, He is always to be praised whether we receive anything from Him or not. Those who praise God only because He does them good should rise to a higher note and give thanks to Him because He is good. If you notice at the beginning of verse 7, He is the Lord our God. And that is another motivation, a reason why we give thanks for who He is. You see, what He does focuses on His actions. Who He is focuses on His attributes. We thank God that He is all-knowing, that he is all-powerful, everywhere present, eternal, holy, just, loving, gracious, and kind. And you say, well, why is that a higher note of thanks according to Spurgeon? Well, for one, if we only thank God for what he does, it can become somewhat self-centered because it's all what he does for me. We focus kind of on the needs we have that he's meeting. Yes, we're giving him thanks, but it can become a little self-oriented. And secondly, as Spurgeon somewhat alludes to, thanking God for who he is can be done in those times when it doesn't feel like God's doing anything. I mean, let's admit it. There are times in our lives when God is telling us to wait. We're praying that a door may be opened, or we're praying for some kind of direction. We're praying for God to work, and he says to us, wait. That phrase, wait on the Lord, appears many, many times in the scriptures. So what, we just don't give thanks until he moves? No, we give thanks for who he is. Even when we don't sense what he's doing in our lives, we still can worship him. Finally, I want to consider the when of gratitude. And for this, we need to go beyond Psalm 105. I'd like to turn to the New Testament. First to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I remember years ago in the church that I grew up in, our pastor preached through 1 Thessalonians. And when he got to this section in chapter 5, he called it a handbook for holy living. Very short little statements, yet are very profound in how to live the Christian life. Verses 16 through 18. We loved these as kids because if we had to memorize verses, these were only two or three words each, right? Yeah. Rejoice evermore. Hey, I just learned a verse. Pray without ceasing. Now there's two. That last one's a little longer, so we weren't as concerned about that, but that's my verse for today. Verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Pretty much covers everything, doesn't it? But I want you to notice something very important. It says give thanks in all circumstances. It does not say give thanks for all circumstances. There are some people that think, oh, we have to give God thanks for everything. No, we don't, because not everything comes from God. Evil does exist. There are things in this world that happen that are not directly from God's hand. I'm not saying God's not in control. I'm just saying that sometimes people make choices that have horrible consequences. You don't give God thanks for the horrible consequences. I just heard this morning of a family in Argentia, Orienta School District. First grader died suddenly of an illness. Seriously going to tell those grieving parents you need to thank God for your child's death? I don't think so. But they can be thankful in it because God's going to work through it. So we don't have to give thanks for all things. We don't have to pretend that everything that happens to us is good. That's not true. It's not realistic. But we can give thanks in all circumstances because even in the worst of things, God is still at work. You say, well, how can I thank God in those times? Well, here's some things we can focus on. The fact that God is in control, even when it feels like he's not. Everything may look to the contrary, but God is still on the throne. God can bring good out of evil. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible is Genesis 50, verse 20. As Joseph is confronting the brothers who sold him into slavery, who started this whole chain of horrible events in his life that turned out saving their lives. And he said to them, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. You had evil on your hearts, but God turned your evil into something good, the saving of many lives." So God can bring good out of evil. God can even turn my mistakes into something that works out well, even when I blow it. And even when I blow it, no matter what happens, God isn't going to stop loving me. We can be thankful for that. And then the last one, I won't live on earth forever. Say, wait a minute. You're giving thanks for that? You bet. Do you really want to be stuck in this bag of bones for eternity? Mentioned this yesterday at JoJo's memorial service. We think that a long life is something great. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful to live to 100? Have you ever talked to somebody that's 100 years old or more? I have. One of our dear saints here for many, many years, Irene Howe, told me as she was approaching that century mark, and she lived to be 102, she said, I think I outlived my body by 10 years. Because as we age, our body deteriorates, our health declines. JoJo had Parkinson's disease, which robbed her of her strength, her mobility, even her speech. And it's hard to even fathom how frustrating such an existence is. And to know that at one day, I'm going to leave that old body behind. All the pain and the suffering and the frustration is going to be over, but our life will not. We have an eternity to look forward to in a body that will never age, a body that will never suffer injury or illness, a body that will be whole forever. So even in those worst days that you're going through, give thanks that it's not always going to be this way. There will be a time when God makes all things new. Now back in 1 Thessalonians 5, it says we should give thanks in all circumstances. That Greek word for all means all, any, everything, anyone, all the time, anywhere, everywhere, the whole thing. Pretty all-encompassing, isn't it? It means no exception, no excuses, no exemptions. It's not just we give thanks when we feel like it. We give thanks when we're happy. We give thanks when things are going our way. Sure, we should, but that shouldn't be the only times. We're to give thanks in all circumstances. Now, that seems pretty radical. I would agree. You know, it doesn't take any effort at all to be grateful when somebody gives you a nice gift. Anybody can do that. But how about being thankful when there's no apparent reason to be thankful? That's going to turn heads. That is a wonderful testimony of what God means to us. When we can give thanks even when there's no apparent reason to do so. A lot of people say, oh, I want to know God's will for my life. Well, here it is. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Why is that God's will? Because as we are thankful, we draw close to Him, and that's what God wants. He's not nearly so concerned with our occupation or our location as He is the condition of our heart. And having a grateful heart draws us close to Him. There's one other text I want to mention about gratitude, and it's in Philippians chapter 4. Back a few books from 1 Thessalonians. Philippians chapter 4, which by the way was written from a jail cell. And yet in these four short chapters, Paul uses the word rejoice 16 times. Proving that you can give thanks in all circumstances. Philippians chapter 4 verse 6. Howard Hendricks calls this the greatest verse on mental health you'll find anywhere in the Bible. Do not be anxious about anything. Any exceptions there? No. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Paul instructs us to pray every time to give thanks every time we pray. Whenever we bring our requests to God, we are to do it with thanksgiving, not when our prayers are answered. We give thanks when we pray, not when the prayers are answered. You say, well, how am I supposed to do that? How can I thank God for what He's going to do before He does it? It's called faith. We trust God to do the right thing even when we don't know what that looks like. We believe that God is going to answer our prayer and it's going to be the best, even though it may not be what we want. We give thanks anyway. It's a statement of faith that we believe God not only will answer prayer, but He's going to answer it in the best possible way. And as we do this, the more we thank God for who He is, as well as what He's going to do, the easier it gets for us to thank Him with every request. Because our trust is growing in Him. And then notice the result in verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Peace of mind. Having an attitude of gratitude really does improve your mental health. So, this Thanksgiving, give thanks. But give thanks to whom? Give thanks to the Lord. Why? For He is good. Give thanks to Him for all that He does. And when do we give thanks? Not just the fourth Thursday of Thanksgiving. Not just Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock. Make it a lifestyle. Foster an attitude of gratitude so that in everything we give thanks. We thank God before we know what His answer is going to be. And we will improve our mental health, our physical health, our spiritual health. And we won't end up praying like Bart Simpson around the Thanksgiving table.